Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For the past 6 years, the Writers Workshop Poetic Justice has worked with over 3,000 women in Oklahoma's criminal justice system to use poetry and writing as a vehicle to better understand their life and to change their life arc. Using a series of prompts and a process called restorative writing, the participants write to better understand the forces and decisions that shape their lives, make amends, forgive others, and find closure to unresolved traumas and abuse. Started in March of 2014 at the Tulsa County Jail, Poetic Justice has now grown to the Creek County Jail, the Mabel Bassett, Eddie Warrior, and Kate Bernard Correctional Centers in the state, and there's also a satellite program in Southern California. Since that start, there's been an anthology of women's poetry published, and this summer it expanded to create a dramatic writing session and visual arts element at Mabel Bassett. And some of the results of that can be seen at AHA in a special event scheduled to take place Saturday, March 28th, titled Hashtag Not a Number. My guest today is the founder and executive director of Poetic Justice, Ellen Stackable, a former public school English teacher here in Tulsa, and one of the participants in the first project at the jail and then later at Mabel Bassett, Angelina Ciccone, who was released in September. They join us today on Studio Tulsa. Ellen and Angelina, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
It was 6 years ago that Poetic Justice first began with some writing classes at the Tulsa County Jail. Now it has expanded to 5 institutions in Oklahoma, as well as another program in California. What has Poetic Justice provided to the 3,000 women or so that have been involved with the program, Ellen?
Well, on the outside level, we bring on just an ability for them to write and write freely about their lives, about what it was like growing up, who they are today, and who they want to become. But we also provide a safe space to do that. And that's as important as the writing, a place where they make the rules to make it a safe place and a place where they feel, honestly, women over and over again have said they feel like they're not in prison when they're in our class. And it's honestly one of my favorite times of the week when I go.
Yeah. I know from talking to the people who are involved in the program from the outside are getting as much as the women who are in the program. But Angelina, you were in the program. What sort of outlet did it provide for you?
Well, I happen to have the pleasure and the honor of being in the very first class that they ever did in Tulsa County. And then when I was at Mabel Bassett, after I got moved to the prison, I got to be involved there. And like Ellen was saying, prison is a hectic place. It's a closed-off place. And just being able to be in that room and sit down in a peaceful place with like-minded people and people you knew weren't going to judge you, and they were going to honor and respect whatever it was that you needed to get out. Get down on paper and get out. It was just priceless to have that during my incarceration.
I think Ellen had forgotten that you were in the first program in Tulsa County. I know from the program what you found that at the correctional institutions, it's perhaps even a better environment for people to express themselves artistically just because of the chaotic nature of jail. And I wonder if both of you can comment on that.
Our classes in jail are almost like an emergency room. They're like a triage of trauma, really, is what's going on. And we're now at Creek County, and I see that there, too, because the women who are incarcerated there have not yet been judged guilty. And we're innocent until proven guilty. So there's just so much uncertainty surrounding them. And that feeling comes into our classes, too. Angie, would you say that's a good way to put it?
I would say that that's very true. There's a lot of ambiguity, like what you're saying. I know I was dealing with a lot of anger while I was there. So that's a lot of surface, like what's going on right now. And then I know in prison, I was there. I knew I was going to be there. I'd already been sentenced. And so it felt more like the time to deal with, you know, deeper things.
And can you maybe talk about how you dealt with deeper things through this therapeutic exercise of writing?
Absolutely. Some of our prompts are, things like I am from is one that comes to my mind. It's a prompt, and, you know, you just kind of, in a really poetic way, of course, you list all the things that you kind of remember from your childhood, like all the things that make you up. And so that opened up some things. We wrote closure letters, and I wrote a closure letter to my son, who I actually lost, you know, during my incarceration. And that was really healing for me. So, and there's just so many others. And being in the room with Ellen, you know, and the other volunteers, and like I said before, just knowing that anything that you had to say was welcome, it was such a gift. And I think that dealing with the things that myself and the other women in that environment have to deal with is so important, because not looking at them can mean failure mm-hmm. on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
What I noticed from my very limited introduction into this world when I saw a program this summer at Mabel Bassett was that it seemed like that space offered you a chance to drop some of the defense mechanisms you have towards the other women in the facility. Because I can imagine this is a place where you're probably on the defense of an awful lot within a facility like that.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for saying that, because that's where my mind was traveling and I kind of lost my train of thought. When a woman shares, you know, in that space, it really creates a lot of opportunity. Like, oh, okay, it's okay to say this, whatever it is. It's okay to go there, you know. And I think when you share that moment with someone, then when you see them out on the yard, when you're back to the day-to-day, it becomes a lot easier to trust them, to trust maybe other people at large, because you start to feel like we're all in this together. Mm-hmm.
Now, the closure letter that Angelina mentioned, that's part of this whole program, which is, you refer to it as restorative writing. What do you mean by restorative writing?
Well, when we started 6 years ago, we were doing more normal poetry and spoken word poetry and things like that. And pretty quickly, I think I realized that it was more than that for most of the women. There was a way that they could go into the things that the trauma that for most of them had been in their childhood, and they had a safe place to process it, to bring it out into the light, to share it with others, and like Angelina said, find out that they weren't alone. And then when you own that, you can start to heal. You know, it's one thing, it's kind of like the old adage of if someone's hungry, you give them a fish, but if you really want to bring change, you teach them how to fish. And I always feel like we're giving the women that we work with tools so that they can start to begin the process of self-reflection and healing, which takes, I think, tremendous courage.
Yeah. The program I attended, actually, there was a drama element to it, which is something that Poetic Justice has done, where we have these dramatic scenes. And actually, some of them were incredibly funny about heartbreaking moments in their life. And I assume that's where you have processed this enough that you can find humor in it, or maybe it's gallows humor or something like that. But obviously, you've worked through these events and able to share it in a way in which you make a really strong point, but oftentimes with humor as well as really sad tragedy at the same time.
Yeah. I think that the way that, you know, the team walked us through it. A team of volunteers walked us through the writing of it, the editing of it. And after you look at it from so many angles, I think you just start to see every angle, you know. And for me, I have to have some humor looking back because of, you know, the tragic things that I've experienced. But I know that Poetic Justice really does provide that platform to just deal with all of those things and say what you need to say.
Now, Angelina, give us a sense of your background. I know I've read some of your poetry. I've heard you do your own scene. You're a very talented writer today. Was writing always a part of your life, or was this something you discovered once you were in the program?
I share sometimes that I can remember writing my first poem when I was 6 years old about the color white. And it was really good. And my first grade teacher was so impressed, you know, and I guess it was good. They said it was. So always humble. But, I think that I've always liked to write. I always liked English class in school. I always liked to be in drama, you know, plays when I could. And so I think it's always been a form of expression for me, but I know that with the writing I've done with Ellen and, you know, the women at Mabel Bassett, I've really been able to hone that and find my style, I guess, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. But I assume there are some women, this is the first time since maybe elementary school where they really sat down and wrote seriously.
Yeah,
I think
that's true. And I love poetry because it gives you permission to write as imperfectly or perfectly as you want to. What kind of overwhelms me every week, you know, this happened again last night, is that in 10 to 15 minutes, they can sit down and write, and it goes straight from their heart to their hands. And, you know, I'm just overwhelmed with the beauty and the eloquence that I see in that short amount of time, week after week, year after year, at place after place. So,
now, over the course of this 5 or 6 years that you've been doing Poetic Justice, it, really the offerings you've offered to women in these facilities, it's really expanded. It just went from poetry to, I assume you're doing all sorts of writing today.
We did in the Summer of the Arts. We're still doing kind of, we've expanded the number of different choices we have for writings. We have about 40 prompts that mm-hmm. work really, really well and keep adding. I added one yesterday. But this summer we had the opportunity to do a Summer of the Arts, which was so exciting. A former student of mine when I taught at TSAS approached me. She works at Philbrook and just said, I'd like to do art somehow in prison. And so we got permission and we brought in things in terms of physical art that they have never had in prison. We brought in clay and a printing press
yeah.
and made sculptures, all sorts of things.
And so it was the first time you had visual arts. And
yeah.
had you been doing the dramatic arts as well?
No, we hadn't. We usually have 8 or 9 weeks is all we have with the women. We hadn't expanded out, even though I think, Angelina, if we had like 5 classes at Mabel Bassett, do you think they would all be full?
Yeah, I do.
So I would love to do that. I would love to expand out and have drama and even a really in-depth book club. It would be really amazing to do a podcast someday. I have no idea how we'd ever do that. But
well, the visual art you got out of this was pretty amazing, too,
yeah.
from some of these... these women who, and what was really amazing, there was sort of a, I guess you could call it like a recital at the end and an mm-hmm. art show for the dramatic pieces. And these women were just talking about how that hour or two that they were working in the activity room was just sort of the hour they look forward to most all week. And for the visual arts folks, they were thinking and working on preparing for that 2 hours, like, all week long.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them, one woman, Rebecca, kind of came into our class by accident. She was actually a chapel worker, which is, they help the volunteers. And so when she came to, we were actually in a different part of the facility in visitation. I just said, why don't you join our art class? So she ended up doing quilling, which is where you take tiny strips of paper and roll them up and make different forms out of them. And she made an entire chess set and the chessboard out of quilling, over 200 hours of work.
Wow. Wow.
And just gorgeous. And then, you know, some of them use convict engineering, they call it, to make things. Because one woman, Jax, was determined to do a bust of herself. And so, you know, our volunteers who were with Philbrook brought in all kinds of different ideas of things we could do. Because there were things that we brought in that we had to leave with every day. Right. And then some stuff we could leave there, but not much. So Jax ended up doing a bust of herself by covering herself with a newsprint and tissue paper. And then had a friend do a watered down Elmer's glue solution.
It was almost like paper macheing herself, wasn't it?
She did. Yes, and she had like a tube so she could breathe while it was going on.
But it really was, what was really amazing was how much of themselves they put out into this artwork and in these dramatic pieces and in the poetry that showed up in the anthology and the like. It's really some amazing work. And I'm wondering how, Angelina, can you give us a sense of how spending time writing and focusing on just putting words on paper has sort of changed your outlook on life?
Sure. I feel like that's where everything gets processed now. You know, it's in there. Sometimes I don't even know it is. And then just sitting down and spending that little bit of time, like Ellen said, you know, straight from the heart to the hand to the paper, it helps me work it out and work it out in a way that I can really pinpoint this is what's going on with me. Or, oh, maybe I really haven't dealt with that mm-hmm. yet. So it's very directional for me, I would say. And then just to know that I do have a voice, you know, and I do have hope and I do have the power to change, that's come through the writing and the class itself.
My guests today are Ellen Stackable, the Executive Director of Poetic Justice, and Angelina Ciccone, who was a former inmate at Mabel Bassett Correctional Center. She was actually at the Tulsa County Jail when Poetic Justice started. Been involved in the program there, and is now working as a professional dog trainer. Congratulations on that. So there will be a special event Saturday, March 28th at AHA, titled #NotAnumber, which is, I guess, a combination art show, poetry reading, and just sort of some Q&A about yes. this program that will be going on at AHA. And there are my guests today on Studio Tulsa. Well, Angelina, I know not only were you involved with Poetic Justice right from the start, you've also been, as soon as you got to Mabel Bassett, you got involved in the dog training program. I assume between those two outlets, those provided some major healing in your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that there was a nice cohesiveness between the two because dog training was kind of my everyday. And then, you know, once a week, like you said, I knew I could go into that room and just have release and relief and deal with the things that were going on. Working with the dogs really brought me to a place where I could, you know, nurture again. And I'm actually on the board for the Friends for Folks program now, too. So I get to go back and help with that.
Right. The Friends for Folks is the prison program where it teaches the women dog training skills. You're now working as a dog trainer. In fact, your dog that you had right before you left, Mabel Bassett, is now a star of sorts because it's, I understand it's been in a theatrical production.
Yes, my dog Dolly, she wasn't actually in my care at the prison, but I fell in love with her there a few weeks before I left. And a few weeks after I left, I went back and got her and adopted her. And it just so happens that she's a black dog with a white star on her chest. And the children's book, Marvin's Shining Star, about an inmate at the Mend prison, Lexington, who was paroled because of the search and rescue work his dog did, was a black dog with a white star on its chest named Star. So she actually got to be the star in the teleplay. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, Ellen, tell us a little bit about hashtag not a number. What's going to be happening on this event?
Well, we've been working with AHA, and they actually have our work exhibited on the third floor where they do all the classes and stuff like that. And so that night, you know, we really wanted a chance to showcase the art, but also tell the stories of the artist. So our volunteers will be able to help with that. We're also going to have a Q&A panel with Angie, and I will be on that panel, as well as Jenny from Philbrook, and just talk about Summer of the Arts.
That's Jenny Fisher, my daughter, as a matter of fact. So full disclosure, she is the Philbrook worker.
She is the reason we had Summer of the Arts, because she was persistent, and I'm so glad we did.
Yeah.
So we will be doing that. We've also made each artist that's featured in the show gets two tickets for family members. And we're having a tremendous response on that. So there'll be a lot of family members of artists coming. And I just want to be very sensitive to them, and just so that they can see perhaps their relative, their daughter, their mother in a different light than maybe they've seen them.
You know, at the prison for the thing you did this summer, I know some family members were allowed, but only, you know, some. And, you know, I just thought, what a sad statement that, you know, you couldn't have a performing space where these yeah. women could perform for their families and for their families to hear these stories. Because I think that's the most important thing, is to hear their stories, whether it's told through poems or a dramatic scene or the like, because you can read all the statistics, you can read all the second or third hand accounts, but hearing these women tell their own story and these stories of the amount of trauma, abuse, and most importantly, betrayal in their families, I thought that was the one thing that really changed me in just hearing that program, was hearing that firsthand. You know, I knew the statistics and the like, but hearing the stories firsthand has got to be utterly changing.
Well, and they're the ones that chose what to name the art show. We asked them, and they kind of batted around different ideas, and then they came up with not just a number. Okay, and somebody else just said, no, it's not that we're not just a number. We are not a number. So, you know, one of the things I've looked at a lot is how does change come about in a society? You know, and I think there's probably a lot of different opinions on it, but the two I've looked at is sort of the model of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is you change the laws, and then that changes the hearts of people. But then there's the other model, which is I call the William Wilberforce model. He's the man who brought an end to slavery in England. And his was that you change the hearts of men and women, and then the laws will change. And I think both are valid, but I think the way we are approaching it is if we can take people from out behind the razor wire and you can see that they're human beings, these are women that are talented and wise and funny and caring, that have overcome just a world of, I don't know if I would have overcome the amount of trauma I often see in them. And then when they go out, many of our students may never get out. And the kindness and the care they take of each other changes the atmosphere even in prison.
Yeah, it is an amazing program, but it's more an amazing journey that these women take themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I assume that's one you're still on, Angelina.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you were released, grateful. You were released about, what, 5 months ago?
Yeah, September the 9th.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Can you talk about a little bit about the adjustment to, I mean, it sounds like you're still involved with the women of Mabel Bassett, that you're participating as a volunteer at the facility. No?
No,
not yet.
Oh.
That is the goal. Right now I'm just handling fundraisers for the dog program and working with Ellen on things out here for Poetic Justice.
Okay.
But that is the goal. As soon as I'm able to be batched to go back in, that's what I will do.
Well, and Angie, explain that you're not allowed to go back or have contact by the rules, right?
Right. Because I'm sure it's because someone somewhere took advantage of it. But because I was incarcerated at that facility recently, and I guess maybe know the inner workings, they make you wait a certain amount of time to go back in. They also make you wait a certain amount of time to even be able to write. And that's been one of the greatest challenges of my reentry, because these are the women that I shared my life with and my growth with for 6.5 years. And it's not that you miss prison, but you miss the people. You miss the relationships that you built. And it's very frustrating to not be able to carry that on.
I can imagine so. And so you're building a new support network on the outside. I mean, other than the volunteers that you know at Poetic Justice who were coming into the facility, or the dog trainers that were coming into the facility, that's your only support network once you get out, oftentimes.
Right. Yes. DOC, they want you to tell them what address you're going to, and maybe sometimes there's a little more looking into it than that, but in my experience, it was pretty cut and dry, and you're on your way. And I was just so thankful to have Ellen, you know, and then there are many volunteers that live here in Norman and Oklahoma City, and they just really surrounded me. And then, of course, you know, Dr. Otto, who oversees the nonprofit and the dog program, really helped me get my job and get on my feet. So I don't know how people do it without having that support network.
Well, and Angelina, you didn't say this, but you also took advantage of college courses while you were there, and you got your cosmetology license as well.
Yes, I did.
You didn't waste a moment.
Through the RISE program, absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you're making the best of this next chapter in your life.
Absolutely. I feel like I can only go up from here.
We hope a lot of people come out for hashtag not a number, which takes place Saturday, March 28th. Ellen and Angelina, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
The founder and executive director of Poetic Justice, Ellen Stackable, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa, along with a former participant in the program at Mabel Bassett Correctional Center and in the very first program at Tulsa County Jail, Angelina Ciccone. They'll both be participating in hashtag not a number, a special event documenting the work of Poetic Justice, which will take place Saturday evening, March 28th at AHA in the Tulsa Arts District. For information, visit poeticjustice.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.